Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
The instinct for most people is a trip to the big box store or gardening center to fix a problem in the vegetable garden or landscaping, see a weed, buy weed killer. But there are also home remedies and mixtures for some problems. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert, Patrick Murphy, from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences, and he's the curator of the Fell Arboretum. Murph, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with pests. What are some easy homemade remedies, homemade ways to deal with insects, for instance?
When it comes to the unwanted pests, the safest bet are the soapy water mixes that utilize liquid dish soap. And I'm always cautious about the ones that add vinegar. We can talk about vinegar. It can be just as harmful as pouring synthetics out on the ground. But the soapy water mixes are effective. They typically require repeated use. And the soapy water is helpful to the plant, too. But the way it helps with the insects is soapy water covers the body of whatever insect is there. Insects breathe through little holes in their bodies, and that is not good for the insect. But it's soapy water, so it's going to dry up, and it might require multiple applications. And soapy water is good because there's a little bit of nitrogen in there, and there's a lot of water mixed in with that home remedy typically, and it's why the grass is greener where you park your car when you wash it in the yard.
So you actually have to apply it to the insect. Something with 7, for instance, if you apply it to the plant and the insect eats the plant, it ingests the pesticide.
I'm not aware of any home remedy that is a systemic that other than BT and milky spore, which we've talked about many times on Grow.
And that takes some time to actually develop.
That takes some years to build up in the soil.
So what's the mixture? Is it 2-to-1, 2-to-1 water soap?
Reluctant to endorse them, Mike, because I think that the same caution goes with the home remedies, it goes with the synthetic chemical, because you're still dumping stuff out on the ground. You just are.
No, we're talking about the insects, though. That's effective, right?
Yeah. But the thing is, you got to spray the insect itself and not the plant, you know, but some of it's going to get on the plant no matter what. So if you're spraying for scale insects, they're very difficult to track down in a corner, and they'll just move into the undersides of the plant. So then you have to make sure when you spray that you have a sprayer that allows you to spray the inside and under leaf areas of your plants.
So too much soap, though, could damage the plant, could damage the soil?
Yeah, there's a potential there. Just soapy water is probably not going to be a problem. But when you start adding things like soap, vinegar, or salt, vinegar, baking soda, which are oftentimes ingredients in other gardening concoctions, I think that's where you start to get into possible trouble.
Sure. I'm going to go there in a minute. Let's talk about deer and rabbits. What about keeping those rodents and mammals away from your garden?
That is one that I think is worth hanging on to, because the pepper pulp or cayenne pepper mixed with water, and sometimes soap is used in that arrangement also, because then it's a suspension agent, but its persistence is very short. So during dry, windy weather, it just dries up
and blows away
and it breaks down and it goes away. And when it rains, it's gone. So if you start to get into the time of the year where there's dew on the plants in the morning, or the weather causes that phenomenon,
even dew will wash it away.
That's going to break it down just as fast. And but the thing is, you can make that out of stuff that you grow on your own property and everything, and the persistency is not much different than the store-bought product. And I've used that before in my professional experience, and it's different than the homemade stuff because you can't wash it off your hand.
Mm. Partially effective, but it's short term.
Yeah, and then like in the eradication of unwanted plants and killing of pests, this is kind of the same arrangement.
Well, let's talk about pesky plants. Weeds encroaching around a vegetable garden or in the garden. I've used a salt, vinegar, dish soap combo with varying degrees of success. What's your concern about that mixture?
It's not a concern. It's just a point of view that, you know, hey, we're still dumping stuff, the vinegar and the salt and stuff like that. It can cause a change in the chemistry of your soil. It can create binding, which is a scenario that reduces plants' ability to get available nutrients. It burns the plant off, and that's the desired outcome. But it usually just affects the above ground part. So for certain weed pests that you're handling, they're going to come back like with a vengeance, you know, like their brothers and baseball bats. After you burn them off, they're coming right back. And so then you get into the combination, the IPM, integrated pest management combination. You need a little bit of spray and then a little bit of mechanical eradication. So you might want to try and get some of those roots out of there at that end stage when the weed has finally been burnt to death by whatever your mixture is. That's a good time to grab a hold of it with a glove and get it out of there.
So that was my experience. It on a sunny day, it worked on some of the plants within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But a week later, that plant was back. I didn't see it growing back with a vengeance, but it was back. So I repeated that. And I was concerned about continuing to repeat that application, concerned about the amount of salt or vinegar. Now, I was using a spray bottle. It wasn't a lot, just enough to coat the leaf. I wasn't pouring it on, for instance, but it did concern me.
Yeah, and you know, and to be accurate, not all weeds will come back like that. Some in particular that will, that I've seen come back very aggressively, is just your water grass, your annual bluegrass, you know, Poa annua, not the Kentucky bluegrass perennial kind, and the nettle that grows flat and spreads out on the ground. It's a hot season weed. They're the ones that seem to take it and come back for more. But if it gives you the outcome you're looking for, hopefully you won't have to keep applying it. I think that the environmental mission that I'm on is to remind everyone that the use of these requires the same discretion as a synthetic chemical.
Salt is a chemical.
Yeah, right.
Vinegar is high in acid.
And if it all worked as well as we want it to work, because I want it to work well, because when you buy the synthetics and take them home, it takes a long time to use them up if you're using them correctly. You might as well help your neighbors out. You know, let them know you bought a bottle of Roundup. It'll be around when the kids graduate from college.
That's why I buy the smallest container possible.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't have a lot of it left over and have it expire on me. And then, you know, what do I do with it? I have to wait till the next household hazardous waste collection. So you can use salt to kill a stump to make sure it doesn't come back?
I've seen this done, and I've done it myself, and it's a farmer's almanac technique. That's where a lot of these home remedies lie, along with gardening magazines and places like that. But the general idea is to bore holes in the stump near the outer edge of the stump where the tree was alive, because, you know, the outer skin mm-hmm. under the bark, that's where the nutrients travel. Well, you could drill yourself some holes in there, you know, at least eight. So that's the four points of the compass and then the points in between. And they could be a small hole like the size of a pencil, and you can fill them with table salt or rock salt. And salt is poisonous to plants. The salt interrupts any potential for that plant to try and kind of regrow from its roots. You know, and if you've cut down a silver maple or a mulberry tree or buckthorn, you know that they can come back very quick. You know, so if it was something small, you know, like the size of a baseball bat, you might only need one or two holes and fill those up with salt and then come back a year later.
Instead of pest prevention or weed killer, what about homemade mixtures that are beneficial to apply to a plant? Maybe fertilizing it or feeding it somehow?
Yes. I've heard of lots of composters and gardeners that make various kinds of tea. And it's a liquid solution that is basically water that is passed through organic matter and poured like a slurry or a drench on the ground. And it's like a homemade liquid fertilizer.
Okay, so if you have any questions about homemade solutions to your gardening problems or about anything in your yard or garden, submit them at wglt.org/grow. Next week, we'll talk about transplanting large plants. Tree-sized, Murph?
Not too big, but definitely some trees.
That's Patrick Murphy. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.